who sends the investor class diving for their tax shelters. Vic Smith.
Somehow this tax game is going to help middle class income folks. It's going to help working people. This is going to raise them. It's going to put more money in your pocket. It's going to be great. And yet, everything that we've talked about, everything that I've seen, it's not. It's actually going to be a break even and long term paying more kind of a scenario for the mass of working people in this country. And we've also heard the other side of this. Which is, it's going to be great for small business. And I got to be honest, I guess first, the definition is, what is a small business? Are you talking a company that makes, you know, multi-million dollars and makes profits all over the world? Yeah, they're going to do pretty well. But your local diner, your local mechanic, your local florist, not so much in my view. And here to talk a little bit about how maybe this is going to affect his business, I've asked Jim Hauser to come talk with us. He's the owner of the Hawthorne Auto Clinic there in Portland, Oregon. He's a representative and executive committee member of the Main Street Alliance. Jim, thanks for taking time for us.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for inviting me on.
I appreciate you taking a little time for us. This tax scheme, am I getting this right? It's being painted as something that's going to be able to help you and other small businesses thrive and do better. Do you see anything in this that helps you?
Absolutely not. Everything I've seen indicates it's going to hurt my customers, hurt my customer base, hurt the communities that I rely on for my business, the communities that we support. And so... That's going to hurt our business. It's going to hurt our suppliers. It'll hurt our staff. If they don't have the income to buy a set of tires and keep their car healthy and able to get to work, then that's bad all the way around. It's just a negative, negative, negative.
But you know the pass through thing. You should be able to use the pass through business deduction to be able to do a little bit better for yourself. No, I mean that's the way it's being pitched to me.
But it is not going to happen. And even even if it was, it's so minimal. I've heard it's $11 a week. That's not my idea of a way to boom the economy.
Well, you could buy an extra cup of coffee every week, couldn't you?
Yeah. The coffee house next door won't be able to afford the staff they have now and the benefits that they provide.
But here's the thing, you know, as a business owner, I mean, I think, you know, anybody who has run a business understands what it takes. These tax cuts, because there are people saying there's a lot of money in it for business. How do you make your money? I mean, at the end of this is where I think the rubber meets the road, because there are some who say that if I give you a bunch of tax breaks, you're going to, out of the goodness of your heart, create jobs, and they're going to be good paying jobs, and everybody's going to be happy. I don't see that as plausible, as possible, as even anywhere in this world realistic. Tell me your thoughts.
I have a friend, a remodeling contractor, great guy, business is up and down. He tells me, when he has more customers, he hires more staff. When he gets a tax cut, he flies to Aruba.
Nice. I've heard the exact same thing from other business owners who say, look, it's the people walking through my door. It's the demand. So why is it that, you know, we're looking at this tax plan, which, you know, all indications are it's going to raise our national debt by somewhere around $1.4 to $1.9 trillion without any real direct investment in anything, with the hopes that maybe that money gets spent somewhere. How do you see that helping in demand in any way by just giving corporations and the wealthy more?
I brought up on my screen Apple's retained earnings for this last most recent quarter, September 30th, 2017, is 98.33 billion dollars. How much more does Apple need before they start to invest in jobs in this country? The notion that if we just gave Apple a little bit more, that they're going to break their wallet loose. And, I mean, how many sets of tires can Apple buy? It is absolutely no foundation in fact for what they're trying to sell us.
You know, I remember a quote a couple years ago from one of, I think it was the Caterpillar CEO. He had said that, you know, when asked, you know, how much profit is enough? And he said, look, you know, we can never, I think his name was Doug Obermeyer or Obermann or something, Oberhelmer or something. But he said, look, it's never going to be enough. We can never make enough profit. And, you know, when you start thinking that that's how CEOs think, this idea, and I guess this played out in the meeting that Gary Cohn had last week, where, you know, he asked the CEOs in the room, how many of you are looking forward to hiring new people? And, you know, there was a hand or two that went up, but the mass of them are like, no, we're going to pocket this. This is going to be a windfall.
Yeah, it evidently was extremely embarrassing for him. And he thought, why did I have to ask that question? And you wonder how kind of tone deaf must he be to actual business realities, that if there are not, that over 70% of our economy is consumer spending based.
Yes.
If we don't have consumers with the disposable income with and the confidence that they're going to have income over time, they're not going to spend. And if they're not going to spend, if you don't have customers who are willing to come in your door and lay down the Visa for a set of tires, then there is nobody that's going to hire and have people just standing around hoping that something's going to happen. There's no basis for believing that.
Yeah, I mean, and at the end of the day, I think we have to have that conversation about what does generate business. And look, I've been accused of being a tax and spend liberal. All you want to do is tax and spend. And I go, yeah, I'll accept that label. If we're spending on things that we need, like better infrastructure, like education, like healthcare, you know, feeding demand into the economy, I'll take that label because I understand how the economy works, and that the reverberation effect of, you know, of government spending, goes throughout the entire economy and creates far more jobs than just here's a whole bunch of money, go on vacation.
Oh, absolutely. Energy efficiency and reducing the greenhouse gas, the carbonization of the atmosphere, that's a double win. If you put people to work, there are so many people in this country ready and willing to go to work. There is so much money available being hoarded, according to the Wall Street Journal, trillions of dollars are being hoarded. And there are people ready to go to work. There's the money and there's the need. And we can, with that money, we can do a multitude of wonderful things, like reduce the challenge for global warming, yep. Just for example.
No, I mean, to highlight your point, according to the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy, they say that corporations are hoarding, your word and the New York Times word, $2.6 trillion in profits offshore in the Caymans and who knows where else. And with this tax plan, the corporations would owe us, the taxpayer, our treasury, about $750 billion. And under this tax plan, they're only going to have to pay $185 billion, which means they get to pocket the other $565 billion that isn't going into roads, bridges, renewable energies, healthcare, education, whatever. It's just a huge, gift. Congratulations.
Well, plus, the tax rate is less for offshore profits, so it's an incentive to go build your solar panels in China than it is to build them here, because your tax rate is less for foreign profits.
Right. This is all you're talking about, the territorial tax that they want to set up, so that we don't have these hoarding scenarios anymore. They just leave it over there and pay a much lower rate, and we end up getting nothing, and the jobs leave too. So this is like a double negative, if you will.
Yep.
So how do you know how, when you're talking to your fellow businessmen, when you're hammering this stuff out, did they get this? Because I look at the polling, this isn't really popular, but I'm wondering on the pulse of small business, what's the thought?
Well, you know, in auto repair, it's all about the customers through the door. It's called car count, how many cars you get through, and the average for each repair order. And when we see the car count lagging and the average dollars per repair order, and we start looking at who our customer base is and their nervousness about what's going to happen to them as the responsibility for maintaining the government gets shifted from the wealthy and the largest corporation down to the rest of us, it looks bleak. There's nobody who's looking that I've talked to who's looking positively at all of the various features that are being dribbled out about this. Everything you look at, other than the proclamations, but when you look at the actual figures of what the CBO and the other professionals are bringing forth, it just looks bleaker and bleaker.
I mean, you know, every bit of this, and I just went through some of, you know, the highlights. You know, for instance, you know, I don't know about you, but my kids don't have to worry about paying the estate tax. I'm sure they would love to, but you're talking about $11 million for a couple, $5.5 million being already exempted, and they want to do away with that over a period of time, which, again, you know, just seems to me so short-sighted and so stupid. But, you know, again, this is the priority, the wish list. This is what the donors want. This is what the wealth class wants. And look, they've bought a political party.
Yeah. Bargain with the devil.
So what are you doing to, you know, to kind of, you know, combat this? I know you guys at the Main Street Alliance have been doing a lot of educating and a lot of talking about, you know, why this is a bad proposition and, you know, what we may need in the future to help, you know, move us in the right direction. I'm curious what you guys are working on.
Well, just today we were working on an op-ed about this that we're going to try to get both published in local newspapers as well as some of the bigger press. We've talked with our trade associations, like I'm in several automotive trade associations, about the impact of it. Fortunately, we have our two senators are very solidly against this, so we don't have to do a whole lot of politicking with our senators. And the majority, we only have one Republican House member from Oregon, and he's in the leadership, so there's no talking to him about this or health care, which is his other weak point. And right, he covers the rural parts of the state of Oregon who are going to be hurt even more than the more diversified, more urban areas, both with health care, his health care plans, and this tax shifting business.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, you know, you think about it, the Trump voters, the rural, because I live in a rural area, and, you know, where the, you know, the conservatives are strongest, and it seems like they're going to be the ones who take even a more hard hit than the urban areas, and yet they still keep voting for these same characters.
Yeah, very, very strange, especially when you look at healthcare. It comes up with healthcare almost immediately. People see that immediately. This is vague enough, and some of the worst of this tax business won't hit until 2025, 2027. So that's more vague and not as easily felt, understood. You're not going to see that immediately in the same way that the healthcare their healthcare train wreck.
No, well, in this, they go after healthcare as well by repealing the individual mandate. Again, something they used to be in favor of. The Republican Party used to be all about personal responsibility, and now they seem to be the party of freeloaders. I don't get it. Other than it was, you know, the black guy in the White House's idea, that he got to put his name on it. And I sadly, I think that's what it comes down to.
Oh, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Yeah, there's no question in my mind.
So last question I've got for you. What do we have people do? I mean, this isn't done yet. The polling, like I said, against it. What are you suggesting people? Like, you're in Oregon, and you've got, what, Merkley and Wyden, which are your two senators, which you're right. Yeah, they're on the right side of this. What do you tell other people? Yeah. What do you tell folks that they should be doing?
Well, it's got to be made the Republican members of Congress have got to be made really, really uncomfortable about this. I mean, that's what happened with health care, is they backed away when the pressure from home got too great. I mean, they're looking that they have a career in Washington, D.C., an easy, they don't want to go have to look for work. They don't want to go for a job. They want to keep their positions in D.C.
Yep.
And the minute it starts making them look nervous when they get too many letters, too many phone calls from their constituents who are screaming about this, then especially as it gets closer to the midterms, if they could get it in by Christmas before next season's elections, then they can try to coast through 2018. But when they start seeing the pressure, when they go home for their visits back in their districts, that's when they feel the pressure. And that's what I think needs to be emphasized, in the same way that they couldn't have, that the congressional delegations couldn't have their meetings, their hometown meetings, because
halls,
of
right.
Health care. They need to get the same impact when they go back home for Thanksgiving, for example, which is very soon, from their constituents there, about this is a disaster.
Yeah, as
this
I said,
this is going to be bad for small businesses, bad for our communities, bad for our employees, bad for our suppliers. Not good.
Yeah, I'm with you. What we need to do is go to the shed and get the pitchforks. To me, that seems where we go. Jim, I appreciate you taking time for us. Great talking with you again. Thanks so much.
Great talking to you, Rick. Thank you.
All righty, Jim Hauser, again, owner of the Hawthorne Auto Clinic there in Portland, Oregon. And I think I've talked to Jim in the past when we were in D.C. at one of the summits. Good guy. Let's take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. For working people, come to talk.
Uncovering the con in conservatism. Rick Smith.